join me in prayer, please? So, Father, we are so, so blessed that it is well with you, God. We are so honored to just be a part of your kingdom, a part of your words. God, I just pray that tonight, not only will you just meet us here, Lord, but that you would just move in the hearts of the speakers tonight. Would you move in the hearts of the congregation tonight, Father God? So we come before you and we just talk about just new life and new beginning. So Holy Spirit, we just pray that you will move and that your presence would just cover us and your grace would just minister to our souls. And we just love you so much, Lord Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. So good evening. Good evening, right? So my panel, I don't think they wanted to come up here. Oh, here they come. There they go. I don't know if they was afraid of me or what, but come on down. It's not The Price is Right, right? So come on down. So I have there's a mic for each one of you. It's not on. You got to turn it on. I don't know how to do that. Oh, there you go. At the bottom. You turn it on at the bottom. You hold it. Oh, man, I thought you played drums. Okay, all right, so all right, so welcome to this Saturday, second Saturday evening service, and so we are blessed to be here. So give me a moment while I jump up on this chair, you know, because they're tall and, you know, and I'm kind of short, so I think they do this on purpose. Jen understands. And so I am blessed to be amongst you all tonight, and so and an honor to be able to hold this panel and host this panel with some great speakers tonight. And so we are excited to see what God is doing for this new year, right? So it's the new year, January 2018. So tonight, our subject title tonight is going to be on new beginnings, right? So we're going to talk about the new beginnings. We're going to just kind of walk through this session of scriptures in 2 Corinthians 5, you know, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 is like my verse. Like I seen it, can't get away from that verse. And so, but that's okay. It's new life. It's the old life. It's going to new life. And so I'm excited to be joined up here by Cody and Tammy and Jen and just have this opportunity to, with you all, to just kind of dialogue a little bit about this, just how we have seen God working in our life and seeing how God has been moving in our life. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited to hear their stories. So even if they're nervous, it's okay, right? We're gonna make them feel welcome and feel at home, right? Right? We good with that, right? You gonna clap? There we go. All right. It's not bedtime yet. Not yet. I know it's kind of late. And so we're gonna dive into this, and I'm excited. And you know, so we think about January 2018, this new year. So a lot of us has already set those new year resolutions, those new goals of things we want to get accomplished for 2018. We're trying to not look back at 2017. So we are beginning this process of trying to change things in our life, right? We want to try to start something new in a sense. And so, man, our challenge right off the bat is going to be to just look at that tonight. And how do we bring Jesus and this relationship with the Father a part of our new beginnings for 2018. And so we're gonna talk about that a little bit, and we just thought it'd be just amazing, because Marcy asked me if I would speak this night, and I'm like, well, you know, and so I'm gonna pray about that. And so then God laid in my heart, it's like, yeah, it's one thing to hear Robbie's story and what God is doing in my life all the time, and which is great. I mean, God is good. I love what he's been doing. But it's also, I think, as a body and as a believer and as a church, it's good to see how God is continuing to work in multiple people's lives and know how we can continue to get this different perspective of how God can meet different individuals at different stages of their life and begin to do great things. And so so I'm excited to kind of hear their stories. Some of the stories I know, some I don't know. And so as we look at this new beginning, this new year, and we think about, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, you know, therefore, if you belong to Christ, you are a new creation. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And so when you become this new creation in Christ, life radically changes as a new believer. You know, you have this change. So you begin to pursue things differently. You see challenges differently. You see people and how you deal with people differently. And so you see this different side of who God is that begin to reveal to you and show you who you are. And so, and as we come into that, it can get scary, and it's because it's a part of the unknown a little bit. And so we're gonna talk about how do we kind of allow God to meet us there, and how we can trust God in that transformation process and how God is good in that and how we can enjoy. So you're coming off the holidays where there's up and down. You know, some of us love getting together with family. Some of us like, no, Lord, no, no. This is the one time of the year we have to fast because we know what's going to come. You know, and then we get past the holidays. It's the beginning of the year where you realize you just spend all your money. Like, okay, babe, so what's going on? We broke. All right. You know, and so you're seeing God in another light. And so you got this transition that begins to happen from December to February in your life. And in the midst of that, we tend to kind of lose it, our whole perspective of where God is at in the midst of that. And then we have to come back to the reality. It's like, the kids are still here. The debt's here. how do we move forward now, Lord? I got some new resolutions. It's not just about going to the gym anymore. It's how can I allow God to help me to make this transition? And so I'm not going to talk a whole lot more because I know these people got something they got to say and they're interested, and I don't want to take their time up, and I want to honor that. But I just kind of want to set this up for you to follow us and be a part of this context of how we want to see what God is doing in this new beginning of our life. And so if you have your Bible with you, would you please turn to 2 Corinthians 5? And I want to read six verses, start with verse 14. And so we're going to read that because I think it's important, no matter how much we talk about what Jesus is doing, that we also see what the Word of God says Jesus is doing as well, because it's really the core and the center of who we are as believers. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 says this. If you're with me, say amen. I know it's Saturday night and a lot of you didn't bring your Bible. That's okay. And so, but follow me. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. I love that because that's what we're going to talk about tonight. How differently we know him now. Because in Christ, when you have this new life, he changes your perspective and perception of who he is. According to what the world says God is and who Jesus is. According to what God says he is to you. And so we're going to dive into that. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And so in verse 17 says, This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to him through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. I love how God said, I'm going to give you a new life, but I'm also going to make you responsible for people too. Like, you just don't get it for yourself. You got to do something with that. And so, again, we're going to talk about that a little bit. Yeah, so I'm setting you up. You know that, right? So stay with me. And so for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassador. God is making his appeal through us. God is working through us. Through us. So we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And so we're going to dive into that a little bit. And so I'm excited to have the panel here. Again, there's Cody, there's Tammy, and there's Jen. And so they look like a nervous wreck. It's okay. You know, you want to scratch it out? You want to scratch it out? Okay, we're going to get this going. And so I love you guys. So if I pick on you, give me some grace at the end. And so, but I want to take this first moment. I kind of want them to share their stories so you can know who they are. And so you don't just have these people up here just telling you a whole bunch of stuff. And you're like, I don't know who it is. So we're going to build relationships tonight, right? So tomorrow when you come to church, you see them walking through, you're going to be like, what's up, Cody? Hi, Tammy. Hi, Jen. And if you don't, you just ignore them. That's because you were asleep tonight. So stay awake. And so I'm going to have them introduce themselves and just kind of take a couple minutes just to share a little bit about your story and just tell us, the congregation, just a little bit about who you are. Just kind of bring this into context of this new beginning and this new life in Christ with you guys. So, Cody, you want to start? I picked on Cody first to break the ice.
My name's Cody Doherty. Where to start? let's put it this way. I guess we'll just start. I grew up in a non-Christian household, very non-Christian, and so as far as my my concept of God growing up, I believed that there was a God. I didn't really think that He had any time for me,
right?
You know, and so I just kind of I had a pretty average upbringing. I grew up on the south side of Des Moines. I lived there through my 20s and got really, really involved in the wrong things. If a lot of people know this, but many don't, I mean, I'm a recovering alcoholic. I drank through my 20s, and so much so that and got in a lot of trouble with law enforcement, so much so that, I mean, I had 6 OWIs, and I spent nearly 2 years in prison. And through all of that, you know, through prison and everything, I never really even sought out God, which is amazing. You know, you would think that there'd be a lot of foxhole prayers there, but there weren't. and afterward, you know, I met my wife, and we had our son Cooper, and I continued to drink. And you know, I'm blessed to say that on February 28th, 2013, I got sober. You know, and that,
amen.
That's simply
amen.
Just because,
yeah, awesome.
Thank you. That is simply just because that's the first time that I ever asked God for help, you know. And the crazy part about this is, you know, that day I woke up and I felt absolutely awful, as, you know, you can imagine. I asked for help, and I finally had a choice. You know, that's what was amazing about it, is God actually gave me this choice that I'd never had before, because, I mean, alcoholism for me was a compulsion, you know. It was, I had to do it. There was never an option. I had this choice. And so, crazy me, I called my parole officer and I told her, hey, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I've been drinking. And, you know, she could have easily sent me back to prison. And instead I said, you know, hey, I'm going to go to treatment. She says, okay. And I call a treatment center and they send me up to Mason City, and I'm there, and I've got counselors asking me, you know, shouldn't you be in detox and things like that, you know, because of how terrible my addiction was. And the amazing thing about that is that God just absolutely removed all of that from me.
Amen.
Like, just on the spot. Like, I didn't have to go through withdrawal or anything like that. And, like, the amazing part about that is, like, I instantly knew that I was going to be okay, you know, and I had no relationship with God whatsoever. And since that day, my life has it's never been the same. I am blessed beyond anything I could ever imagine, you know. I love life nowadays, and it's simply just because of my relationship with God. So
awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. Yeah. That's awesome. We serve a good, good God. So if you see me keep shifting, it's because I don't want to be doing this. That don't look really manly at all. And so I got to keep these bad boys kind of locked right here. So don't mind me. So Tammy, you ready? You good? All right.
Is it on?
Yeah. I think it is.
Okay. my name is Tammy Bird, and I have 4 children, and that's, I don't really know much about myself anymore since I have 4 kids. my new beginning that I'm going to start from happened about 11 years ago. 11 years ago, we had our oldest child was 4 years old. We had a 4-year-old boy, a 3-year-old boy, and I was 5 months pregnant with our 3rd child. And I'm a physical therapist, and one day my oldest son, my 4-year-old, came home and said that his ankle hurt. And he'd been healthy, perfectly healthy since birth. So I checked out his ankle and it seemed fine. And then a little bit later, he said his wrist was hurting. So I got nervous. And I took him to the pediatrician to have him do a blood test just to rule out anything systemic. And the worst thing I could think of was something, you know, like arthritis or something like that. So within 24 hours, it was a Sunday night, I got a phone call from the hospital telling me to pack a bag for my son. And they said they didn't know how long I'd be in the hospital, that my son had leukemia, which, if you don't know what that is, it's a blood cancer. And, you know, you hear people say, oh, you don't get sick overnight. My son did get sick overnight. So one day he was fine. The next day he was in the hospital with a port in his chest getting chemotherapy. Thank you. And leukemia has like an 80 to 90% cure rate today. But we found out about a month after he started treatment that he had a really rare kind. There was only a few cases diagnosed in the entire world. And they gave him a 20% chance of 5-year survival. And that was living in the hospital on chemotherapy for that time. They said the only other option was a bone marrow transplant. Mm. And the mortality rate for transplant was 50%. And so it was pretty much a death sentence. They told us that we could do a bone marrow transplant if we had a match in our family. And I wasn't a match, my husband wasn't a match, and our 4-year-old was not a match. And so they told us to bank the baby's cord blood just in case that happened to be a match. And so when you talk about seeking the Lord with all your heart and soul and strength, then that's what I did. I was on my knees every day and night and had lots of people praying with us. And 5 months into this nightmare, watching him get poisoned and all of his hair fall out and regress and all of his skills and everything, it was just beyond anything I can explain. 5 months into this, I was on my knees praying, got the phone call that the baby was not just a 5 out of 6 match necessary for transplant, but a 6 out of 6 perfect match.
Amen.
And so they took the baby's cord blood, which is usually medical waste that they throw away. They take the cells from that, and they infused it into my son, who was sick. And he was the first ever sibling cord blood transplant at University of Michigan. They do over 250 transplants a year. They said they'd seen lots of pregnant moms and lots of sick children, but they'd never seen a mom carrying a match to a child that was ill. And within 6 months, he was off every single medication. He is not here tonight, but he is 15 years old. Mm. Today, he's perfect health ever since then, no medication. And so many side effects they tell you about. One of them is stunted growth, but he's taller than me. So
he is pretty tall.
Praise the Lord for that. Yeah.
Amen, amen, yeah. Amen, yes. Wow. Wow. I didn't get a tissue. Shoot. It's okay, though. They like, start with the women. Like, I cry. Wow, that's amazing. Wow. Go ahead.
Praise the Lord. How do you follow that story?
Right.
My goodness gracious. My name is Jen Cross, and I have been married for 11 years. I have 3 daughters, a 10-year-old, and the twins are 7. And the January New Year's time holds a very special place in my heart. One, because it was the first time that my husband and I ever came to the way. Pastor Steve's message that day pretty much said, if you're here, what are you here for? What are your intentions? Because God's got this great big plan for you, and if you open your eyes, you can see all the many blessings that he has and his story in your story. But now that you have that, what are you going to do with it? And that pretty much changed our relationship with Christ as adult believers from that moment on. I, much like Cody, grew up in a dysfunctional, but not like a ha-ha sitcom TV dysfunctional, but a very much dysfunctional household full of addiction and abuse. And through a series of circumstances, against all the world's odds, right, to the world's standards, God revealed himself to me when I was 9 years old. And I grew up in a ton of negativity, and by the grace of God, he had a lot of different places for me to be in through my childhood. So I was able to get the influence of Christ through healthy parents and healthy marriages growing up in the foster care system. And I surrendered my life to Christ as a teenager. Now, I didn't, as I started to grow up, I didn't really look much different than the world. I knew there was God. I prayed to him even when I knew I was doing things wrong. But I always had faith. And I can only attribute that to the fact that if you doubt for one single second that God is real, I'm a living testimony, and so are these people, that God is so completely real. Because there is zero reason that I should be the person that I am today. So in my late teenage years, when I was 19, I met my husband. And we were both Christians. It was pretty much just a box that we checked. We didn't look much different than the world, but we were both believers. But we knew in our hearts that we wanted something more. So we got married, and we were believers, and everything was great, right? No, not at all. Marriage is hard, but when you aren't living the way that God wants you to live, and then you get married and you do it for the wrong reasons, right? Just to look one way, or maybe you just don't want to go to hell, then those are not necessarily the right reasons. And so we had sort of a new beginning moment. God was preparing us, much like Tammy. We ended up with a sick kiddo too. We almost lost her. So through a series of events, God just continued to make himself more real to us through our marriage. So my new beginnings are basically, how do you continue that walk with Christ through the hard times when you already are a believer? How do you know for sure it's real and continue to have that growing faith? So my walk with Christ has been a long journey, but I stand here today to tell you that it might not necessarily get easier, but what I do know that his word and his love only continues to pour out on us as we continue to lean in. So,
amen. Thank you for sharing. Wow, what amazing stories. And as they were speaking and praying, and you know, we can all relate in our lives of some of those moments where we have experienced so much pain and so much hurt, while how we've been going through a season in our life that's been super hard. And how blessed is it to have a God that we can call on to walk with us through that and to encourage us through those situations, you know? And so that's just amazing. And in verse 14, I'm gonna kind of correlate back and forth, because I want to keep you engaged, right? You guys are with us, right? You okay out there? And so I'm gonna keep you engaged, but I want to talk a little bit about your guys' stories a little bit, just a little bit more how you've seen God actively working in the midst of that, because they kind of gave you the synopsis, like the overview, the really quick version of their life, even though I know they've experienced God in so many ways, and they've seen how good God has been as they have journeyed through these life experiences and life situations. Because, see, every one of us out there are going through something, and whatever that might be, good or bad, indifference, is we are wanting to come out on top. We're wanting to learn from that, grow from that, experience something greater from that. And as I was reading in verse 14, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we all die to our old self. What a love that God gives us when he gives us this new life. And so I want to talk about some challenges. And Jen, you kind of set yourself up for this. And so that's all right. And so, Jen, I want to ask you, just when you think about some of those challenges in your life, you know, you growing up in that genre where there's a lot of dysfunctionality, a lot of addiction, a lot of things that was going on in your life at the time. And then, you know, you met Christ, and then the birth of the baby girls, and then the complications with the kiddos. And so just talk about one of those challenges that you faced when you was pursuing Christ, and kind of what that looked like, you know, just kind of give them a little bit of context of what those challenges look like.
Well, I think when you face a struggle, and for me, my desire was to be obedient. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I knew Christ. I experienced his presence. I was devoted. And I think that when something wrecks you, when you are already walking with him, and you've had new beginning after new beginning, and you've seen fruit, and you've failed, but yet you pick yourself back up and you try again, my faith was I just wanted so badly to be obedient. And I wanted to do what God wanted me to do so badly, because what he's done for me specifically, because I'm kind of a control freak. I think those are called leadership skills now, right, Robbie?
Right. Tracy, I'm like,
oh. Yeah, exactly. So what God, what God did for me was he started to show me when I moved, when he didn't want me to move. And when I moved, and when he did want me to move. So he gave me the ability to see when I did what he wanted me to do and when I didn't do what he wanted me to do. It's almost like he started to show me those little nuggets of missed opportunity.
Right.
And I don't know that he does that for everybody, but because I think God needed me to know how real he was in my life, because there were so many things that could have turned me in the complete opposite direction, running the complete opposite direction of the Lord, right? So for me, it was about obedience. So it was, do I move? Do I not move? Do I stay put? Do I sprint? Do I run? Like, is it just a steady pace? What is it for me? So at most of my adult life, when I was walking with the Lord, it was mostly about obedience, when to move and when to not move. And sometimes you want to just do it now. Amen. And I think when your mind is constantly running in that direction of, do I do it, do I not, do I do it, do I not, I think what you simply have to do is just zip it.
Right.
And you have to take your Bible and open it and be still. And that's, and I still have that challenge today.
Yeah, and I think that's so important. So when you're facing those challenges, and knowing and seeing those challenges before you, is that you can take that moment where you can kind of stop, be still. You know, I love that verse that, be still and know that I am God. Just you can be still in that moment and just kind of see what God is doing around that, through that, and how you can be a part of that as you begin to make those transitions. And, you know, and I think that's super awesome. But I come back to, you know, challenges is going to be there. And we're going to face those challenges. And it's, how do we get to a place where we can see God in the midst of those challenges? And you know, that kind of brings me into those seasons of disorientation. And I think about you, Tammy. I think about, as you was explaining that transition that your family was going through with the midst of your son, and at times where there's despair, there's hopelessness, there's doubt, there's discouragement, there's the unknown. But even in the mess, God was still there. Even when you wasn't able to see it or understand it, but knowing, because you have this new life in Christ, because you have made this commitment to Jesus and begin this relationship and growing in Jesus, that even in the worst case scenario, you were still able to take a moment where you felt helpless, where your family didn't know, to stop and pause and begin to pray and seek God for help. I mean, so in that season, let's just a little bit, just talk about how did you see God in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the craziness and the unknown, and what did he cause you to notice in that?
Well, a couple of things that come to mind, I think it's James talks about the testing of our faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And can't claim that I'm mature and complete. But those long trials, you know, it's very rare that we pray and get an instant answer. And so we're waiting on God. I think life is just one. We're waiting on God from one thing to another. And I think in that waiting time, he works on our character.
Right.
Because that's the whole point, is that we're becoming more like Jesus, more like his son, right? So that was the first thing that came to mind. And the question, how did I see him after the fact? You know, it's always in looking back. At the time, I felt completely abandoned, and I couldn't, it was so dark and so hopeless, and I just could not see any way out of that mess.
Right.
It was just, I had a three-year-old that we had to farm out to people to watch for a year, because my four-year-old was in the hospital with no immune system, and I was pregnant and had a baby in the middle of it. I had a newborn in there with one child full of life and the other one appearing to be leaving this life.
Right.
It was so awful. And then when the baby was a match, you know, looking back in hindsight, I had the answer before I even knew my son was sick.
Amen. God knew.
He had given me the cure.
Amen.
And I, you know, looking back is always 20/20, but when we're walking in the dark in faith.
Right.
And he gives us faith or grace, you know, for each day, because mm-hmm. it's different. Some days we need a lot more than others.
I think that's amazing to be able to notice not just God's unconditional love, but just know that he's in control. You know, so even when things are just crazy, God is still in control. So as you are traveling through this world and seeing things happen, how when we grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus, when we make that commitment, you know, we talk about new beginnings, we talk about this new year. And so because the theme is like, you set these goals, you set all these different things that you want to get accomplished this year. You know, I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better parent. I want to stay fit and look sexy. You know, and so you got all these things that's going on that you have. But when it comes down to it, it's just this, man, where's Jesus in the midst of all that? And how, yeah, what you laughing for? It's okay. That's just me. That's Robbie. Well, I'm not saying that. So it's seeing that, you know, because of the depth, they're laughing too, because of the depth of your relationship with the Father, and because of those moments where you made this commitment, and as we begin to say, where's God at in my life? You know, where am I seeing him at in the decisions that's making right now in my life? And I just think that's super, super amazing to hear that you was able to notice that. I mean, because I've seen God show up in so many ways in my own life and in the transition of my life, and where I felt completely helpless. I felt like I had to do this by myself. But you hit on something, too. You said there was people that kind of stepped up. There was people that was there to help and help your family and be there. And those things. And so I want to talk about that a little bit, you know, because we talk about the church. And I'm not talking about this worship center. I'm not talking about this building. So when I talk about the church, I'm talking about the body of believers, you and I, us who have given our life to Christ, us who place this amazing role in the person next to you. So I believe sometimes we forget as believers, as a body, that, man, this is family. And so when the family is hurting, we're hurting. When a family is going through things that's crazy, we're going through that too. Because, and I say that because what happens when you come to church and you're going through a storm in life, you fill out a prayer card, right? You want these believers to pray for you. And so we become a part of your story and a part of your journey, and that's what we're called to do. So if we talk about that for a minute, the three of you, how has the body, the church, played a role in your journey with Christ?
I'll start.
go, Cody.
Well, you know, I think it's, I would have to say this, okay? Before, you know, being a part of a church family, I can't honestly tell you that I really had any good friends. Mm. You know? I didn't. And to be quite honest with you, I wasn't much of a friend to anybody, you know? I mean, I didn't care about myself, much less you, you know? And that's just the honest truth. Coming here, you know, and being a part of a church family, I met people that genuinely cared about my well-being.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that I'd honestly ever had that in my life. When we first started coming here, we had, my wife, you know, had pretty much, you know, well, she didn't really persuade me. She just told me that we were going to be doing the Alpha class. So we did the Alpha class, and I kind of got grouped together with it was basically a group of guys that were like, hey, you know, you're new here, so you're our friend now. And, and you know, they were like, come do what we do, you know, and
it's
we're
really going to
play
creepy,
fantasy
though.
Football together, and we're going to, you know. And these are guys that I still have, like, great contact with today, you know.
Awesome.
And whenever I do have, you know, some type of struggle or something that I need, you know, like, confirmation on, you know, I can always go to them. And that's such a blessing in my life because, man, there's a lot of times when it's really hard to see through the murky water, you
right.
know. And so this church family is, man, it's more than I ever thought it would be. You know, I thought we were just going to be coming in here on Sundays and we were going to leave and, you know, we'd get home before noon and football would be on and everything. And it's been so much more than that.
Amen. Awesome.
Do you want me to go? Well, if you don't know, I'm actually on full-time staff here at The Way. I'm the Children and Families Ministry Coordinator. So I see it from a little bit of a different perspective. When I first walked into The Way, we were in the old building. It was several years ago. And we were greeted almost immediately by people, even back then when it wasn't as big as it is now, by the grace of God. But I think one of the things that kept us here was that there is just this, there is this belief, there is this seed that was sown into Steve so long ago, and we're just so blessed by his obedience, he and Vicky. But this is not a superficial atmosphere. We don't want it to be that way. We want you to be here because this is where God wants you to be. And believe it or not, you're exactly right where you're supposed to be on this very day in this very minute. Amen. And so one thing that somebody said to me a long time ago was, who are you going to bless today that could be blessed for the rest of their life by your obedience? And I think that The Way is a perfect example of that. And so from an attender, a member standpoint, that is what really blew me away. It was just the transparency of the leadership here at The Way. But from a staff perspective, it has just been tenfold in my appreciation. Whether or not you hand out a bulletin, you help in the nursery, you help with Journey 252, you are a youth leader, you come up here and you sit on a chair uncomfortably and sweaty. we are blessing someone with our obedience. And for me, that has what has been such a huge, just a huge catalyst in the relationship that I have with Christ and my kids also. They come and they see the greeters and the number of Journey 252 kids that we have. They had the opportunity not too long ago to make blessing cards for the volunteers of the ministry here at The Way, and they did cards across the board. So what we do is not just impacting people who come in here who might not go to church here, but it's absolutely blessing the lives of the next generation of this community. So
that's right. Amen. Yeah.
Awesome. as far as community is concerned, in relation to new beginnings, I don't think you can emphasize enough how important it is to have people walking alongside you in your walk with Christ. I don't think it's possible by yourself for any length of time. You know, the Bible talks about how we're on a narrow path and few find it. And it's so easy to get off the path and to get lost and to get discouraged and get frustrated. And prayers sometimes take a lot longer than we ever expect to be answered. And the Bible talks about how two are better than one because if one falls down, his friend can lift him up, something like that in Ecclesiastes. And so I can't encourage you enough that if you're really wanting to walk closer with the Lord this year, to be willing to be vulnerable and let other people help you and get involved so that you can be accountable and have people to walk alongside you and help you on that narrow path.
Yeah, I totally agree. Thank you. Thank you so much. I totally agree, too, as the church, as the body. I guess I'm kind of like Cody. I never ever could imagine, you know, coming into a place where a whole bunch of people, I had no idea who they are. Culturally, I didn't get it. To just genuinely care and to just love you. And so and becoming a part of that, of the church. And as a church, we're talking about believer. We're talking about this body where you can come into this place where you can begin to fellowship. You can begin to connect to people, build relationship. People begin to walk with you. I mean, if you think about your walk with Christ, you think about the relationship you built within the body of Christ, and the people God has brought into your path that you connected to. If you take a moment and you think about how they have played a role in your journey today. Because a lot of times we don't think about that. You know, we on this path and we are pursuing God and we're living life and we're taking care of business and we're doing things that, you know, we don't even notice how many people God has connected us to, and to encourage us and to push us forward, to pray with us. And in times you can call on the phone, you can cry. And, you know, it's one thing for me to come home to Emily and she's like, you wanted this, you prayed for it, deal with it, you know. And then, you know, I can go in the steeze off and like, I don't know if I can make it. I don't get this. Why people just don't get it? I don't understand people, you know. And be able to get such a word of an encouragement and love and be able to receive that genuinely. And because you know they really care. And I just believe that that's how the body's supposed to be. Not only that you get to come in here and build relationships, but you're supposed to be a part of a community of people where you can grow deeper in your love with Jesus. So if we talk about this new beginning, we talk about this new life in Christ, where the church is supposed to be set up, where you can come in here and get discipled. I mean, my journey started from a leadership class at The Way in 2012, where God gave me this crazy vision, and I had no idea what he was talking about. And he kept connecting me to this white guy who was a cop. And I'm thinking, like, what are you doing here? This ain't good, you know? And then today, to be able to be a part of so many people's lives and so many journeys, because I was in a place where I was able to grow, connect, and serve for the kingdom of God. But that's the challenge for us as believers. That's a challenge for us who don't know Christ, who are just coming in here, to know that you can come into a place where when I come here on Sundays, it's just not coming to a building to worship. I'm actually stepping into my family's household where I can get crazy and hang out and get loved on and worship the Lord and get a good word and go back out there and be nuts with my kids. It's like when you go to your family, you're playing cards and y'all just having crazy, y'all just being yourselves. That's what church is supposed to be a lot. It's not supposed to be this obligation that I got to come. My wife made me. I got to get out of here as fast as I can. But you come here because it becomes family, because you desire to see your people. And so that's what we want to get to. That's your challenge for 2018 when you think about new life, new beginning in Christ. The rest of that stuff is good. You know, my mentor always told me, Robbie, stay focused. If you stay focused on what God is doing within you, everything else is icing on the cake. Everything else is just icing on the cake. And so that's awesome. So as we get closer to coming to a closing, if there is one thing, real quick, 30 seconds, couple sentences. If someone comes to you and asks you, I want to make sure I get this right, just as overall advice that you would give someone who is desiring a new life in Christ, this new beginning. If you look at your situation and what God has done within your lives, just real quick, if you can just give the congregation just this advice, this tagline, I always call it this tagline of advice to encourage them as they begin to seek this new beginning in Christ for their life. Cody, you want to start?
Well, I suppose that I would say that a lot's going to come at you all at once, and a lot of it's going to be overwhelming. If there's any advice that I would give, it would simply just be that always seek out God's truth in anything that happens, anything that comes to you. Always seek that out. You'll never know what his truth is unless you know who he is.
Amen.
You know, and the only way that you're going to know who he is just by getting into the Word and talking with him. Have that conversation. Surround yourself with good people, like-minded people, yeah. You know, Christ-centered people, and hold on tight.
Yeah, amen, yeah. Yes.
I think, you know, we have to make a commitment to do anything if you're going to, anything you're going to accomplish, you have to make a commitment, make up your mind. And so I think you have to make up your mind and make a commitment that you're going to spend time with the Lord every day. Mm. You know, it doesn't have to be a rule and it doesn't have to be a burden. It can be 5 minutes, starting with just sitting quietly and talking to him. But being in his Word every day and spending time with him and committing to that will go a long way, especially if you're in a community of believers. And the other thing I just want to say is that there's always hope, that no matter how dark it seems, no matter how impossible a situation seems, God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher. And I just want to encourage anybody that's in a difficult situation right now to not give up and hang in there, because the Lord, he is a God of miracles.
Amen.
I echo all of that. Spend time, get your Bible, and open it. Start in Genesis. Start in Matthew. Spend 15 minutes a day with your Bible open. Take a deep breath and say a prayer and say, Lord, I don't necessarily want to do this right now, but whatever you want me to hear from your word, just spend 15 minutes. Put it in your calendar, put it in your phone. Every day, 15 minutes or whatever you can spare. Pray, talk to God. He wants to hear from us, and he wants us to hear from him. And just like Cody said, get plugged in. It doesn't have to be here at The Way. Get plugged in at Discover Hope. Get plugged in at your home church. Get plugged in here at The Way. There is so much going on here at The Way. And I would echo exactly what Tammy said. There's nothing that you've done, there's nothing that you ever could do that would ever change the way that God feels about you.
Amen.
Nothing can separate us from God's love. He loves us so completely, he sent his son Jesus for us. Every day, remind yourself of how much God loves you. Even if you don't necessarily believe it with all your heart, do all of those other things. Tell yourself that you are so deeply loved by God, and your life will change completely.
Amen. Amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I want to give him a round of applause. I want to thank our panel. I want to thank you guys for your, just being vulnerable and transparent and bold to come up here and share your stories and share your hearts. And we'll invite the worship team up as we get ready to close. And so I echo what you guys have said. It's truly been a blessing of what God has been doing and what God has continued to do to transform and change lives. And as you have heard their stories, as you have sat out there and seen how God has responded in the midst of their situation, in the midst of their transition in life, I want you to be encouraged that as you make your New Year resolution for 2018, that God is wanting to be at the front of it. That as you begin to seek out how to go deeper, how much he loves you, but allow him to be a part of that transition in your life. Allow him to be a part of growing you. But more than anything, receive this new life. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old life has gone, and the new life has begun. So for 2018, this can be the moment to be the new life in Christ for you, where you can make that decision, even if you is a believer, that you can trust God to do something greater than he's ever done before. 2017 is over with. It's done. So as you pursue this new year, as you pursue this new beginning, allow God to be first. Go deeper in your relationship with him. Make that challenge to read his word even more, to trust God in what he's doing. Doesn't matter what you're going through, he wants to be a part of it, and he wants to bless your socks off. Yes, he does. And it's awesome. And he's a miracle-working God. And so I want you to know, during this response time, that you can make that commitment tonight. Tonight, you can make that decision in your heart. You can make that decision. If you don't know Jesus, you can make that decision to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. There's a prayer leaders over here that want to pray with you, that want to anoint you. They want to be able to help you begin this new transition. The body is here. The church is here to help you grow closer to the Father, help you to understand what God is wanting to do more and more in your life, how God is wanting to be a part of those difficult situations. How God is wanting to help you to understand that you are loved and that you are worthy and he is good. And so my challenge for you for 2018, this is my challenge for you. I wrote this down so I didn't forget. To go deeper in your relationship with Jesus, make time for God and retain his word in your heart and respond. So as you respond tonight, make that commitment, make that decision. Be a part of God's kingdom work. Let us pray. Well, Father God, I just want to thank you for your word tonight. God, I want to thank you that in you our old life is gone. In you, you have given us this new life. that we can begin to pursue you. So as we enter into this new year, Father God, as we continue to leave here tonight and we come here tomorrow, we just be encouraged, God, when we step back into our homes, that you are good. No matter what we're going through, no matter what's in front of us, that we can trust you in the midst of the transition. We've heard tonight of stories how you brought deliverance, you saved, you restored, you changed hearts. You redeemed. God, how you displayed this love that we can't at times even understand or comprehend. And it is so good. So, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would set the pace for us, that it would go out before us and it would move mountains for your kingdom work to take place in the hearts of these individuals tonight. They are here because you chose them to be here. You had a word for them. So let their hearts be encouraged. Let their hearts be blessed, Father. May you touch the children's heart, touch the moms, the dads, grandparents. Father, let us be a church that will continue to always be welcoming and loving and receiving and ready to respond to your kingdom work and the lives of the people who come through the doors. It's all about you, Jesus. Your blood that covered us, your sacrifice on the cross. We thank you for it. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as we've been listening to our panel tonight and worshiping and singing songs that have lyrics like, "Have your way, Lord, have your way." And our song earlier had the lyrics that said, "It is well with my soul." And as we sing those lyrics, I thought in that moment, there are times in our life when really it doesn't feel well with my soul. I feel the brokenness of the world. I feel the effects of the sin and the pain. So how do we come to that point where we say, "It is well with my soul"? And have your way. Lord, have your way. And I think the heart of what we heard from our panel tonight was that idea that in Christ, you are a new creation. The old life has gone, the new life has come. There is hope and freedom and redemption found in Him. When we surrender to what it is that He wants to do, when we trust, when we move forward in obedience. And as I heard everyone talking tonight, the thing that resonated so deeply was that pursuing Christ with all you have. So if there is one thing that you are looking ahead to this year, this month, tomorrow, tonight when you go home, pursue Him with your whole self. Surrender and walk in obedience to whatever it is He's calling you to do. Will you stand and receive this blessing? May you go knowing the love of God the Father, the depths of His love for you, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. Go in peace.